Dear Sangha, today is the 28th of 11th of November, the year 2010. We are in the full moon meditation hall in New Hamlet during our winter retreat. It's the first Dhamma talk of the winter retreat. Do you hear well? Every time you hear the sound of the bell, you have to listen with all our heart. The bell is like the order. The order given by you, not by everybody else. The order of the Buddha in you. And that sound of the bell order you to stop, to train yourself to stop. Even you are doing something, you're talking, you are thinking a very important issue, try to stop. Train yourself to stop. From that state of dispersion, you come back to the concentration, to the oneness of body and mind in yourself. In English, we have the expression pull ourselves together. We bring ourselves, we pull ourselves together in order to be one, to be concentrate. The bell of mindfulness is like a reminding to have, you give you an occasion, a chance to pull your back together, to be oneness, to be concentrate, to be deep. And if we really are present for ourselves, when we are really present for ourselves and things happen in front, around us, so you discover something so wonderful. So when you hear the sound of the bell, you dwell on the sound of the bell and bring everything else to yourself. It's quicker than the airplane. You need only a few seconds and then you rest on the sound of the bell, prolongate, pull everything around yourself to go back to yourself in oneness. So the sound of the bell is like the object. But in the same time, you are also the subject. So subject and the object, the sound of the bell, are one. And during that time, we let go everything. We have only the sound of the bell and the breathing. And when you breathe in, the in-breath is so relaxed, so light, and so deep, and when you get breathe out, you feel relaxed. And when you breathe in and out like that, you feel the sound of the bell is impregnating into yourself, entering into yourself. And that breathing, that breath, bring also oxygen to your body, to your lungs, and to renew the dirt, the tiredness of yourself. So to bring a lot of oxygen, and the oxygen can bring to every of yourself, your body. So the science can measure the degree, the quantity oxygen into your on your breath, but I'm not sure that science can measure the degree of impregnation, of relaxing, and science cannot measure the degree of mindfulness, of concentration in you. There is a vibration in the sound, and there is the pulling together of your body and your mind, and you have deep presence, deep concentration, deep insight. So that science cannot measure, but you can measure, you can taste it, and you know. And then when you have that right away, trained and habit to touch what is positive in order to be joy right away, to be happy right away. And then, well, we have many other things, not very joyful, many happy. But we train ourselves right away to be in touch with what is positive. I'm still alive. I'm still that. So to be happy, joyful right away. And then, so the degree of oxygen people can measure, but the degree of mindfulness, concentration, insight, you taste by yourself. So when you hear the sound of the bell, you breathe in and breathe out 3 times. And 3 times like that will bring a lot. Because only the sound of the bell is create more presence, more concentration, more mindfulness, more concentration, more insight. That you can create by yourself, because that is nourishing, is healing. And all these things is not sold in the supermarket, and is you cannot discover only in the book. In the book is only an image of that, but you have to put into practice in order to produce by yourself, in order to taste by yourself. Even the book cannot, the book, the instruction of others cannot do it. It's you who must do it. So the bell is an occasion for us to look back to the present moment and to look deep and to be mindful, to be concentrated, to have more depth and more insight. And so if 300, 400, 500 also listen to the bell, try to be present, try to be concentrated, it will be a kind of collective energy. And that collective energy is more powerful than your individual energy. It's impregnate, your energy impregnate into yourself, but the collective energy will impregnate in you too. So your energy will be more powerful than just doing at home by yourself alone. So here with 500 person, 300 person in the winter retreat, you can have that. So you practice together, that is that advantage. But if you practice alone, you have your individual energy. But if you practice with 20%, 50% in your group, in your monastery, 300% in this gathering, and then the collective energy will be more powerful. So the advantage of the person who practices with the Sangha is to benefit from that collective energy. If you practice by yourself alone, it's okay. You can obtain that, but it's not very powerful. So why we say that we take refuge in the Sangha is not only verbal take refuge, but taking refuge in the group of people who do exactly like say, the same like you, in the same direction of more peace, more concentrate, more understanding, more insight. So when you breathe in, you can invite all the cells of your body to breathe in with you. to breathe out with you, to relax with you. So there are a number of cells in yourself who are a little bit doing the breathing work, but there is no boss among the group of cells who practice for breathing. There's no boss, but there is a group of cells in the respiratory system to breathe. But also you invite all other cells from other organs of your body to breathe too. So in the sitting position, or in the standing position, or in the lying position, you invite every cell of every organs of your body to breathe together with you. It will be very concentrated. We call high concentration, high mindfulness, high concentration, and it can lead easily to insight. Every cell, in every of your cell, there is many genes, many presence of your father, mother, grandpa, grandma, great-grandpa, great-grandma, many generations of your ancestor. And so your ancestors are still there in every of your cell. And then when you breathe like that, you invite all your ancestors, you invite first all your cell to breathe, and then after that you invite all the ancestors. And so there is blood ancestors, but there are also cultural ancestors and spiritual ancestors, God, Buddha, Bodhisattva, Avalokita, many other ancestors that you admire and you care for, and you live their life, and then you invite all of them to breathe like you. So you breathe with all your ancestors. It's very profound. It's just the sound of the bell. It looks so simple, but it's so profound. Please, please make it good use and to taste that. And don't think that, well, in Plum Village it's only the bell and breathe in and breathe out. Try. You see, it will be very powerful. And that's nourish you a lot. It may heal you and heal people around, and then you nourish yourself, you nourish your ancestor, but you nourish your descendant. Even they are not born yet, but they will be born. And if you are healed and they are healed, they will receive healthy cell from you, the kind of healing cell from you. And then, so when you see a grain of corn, you see that it's just a grain of corn, but you look deeper and you see that the plant of corn and many generations of grain of corn. It's the same for you. You must be a real grain of corn in order to have many generations of grain of corn. You too. You must be a real healthy being, and then many generations benefit. Even you are monastic, but you also have spiritual children to continue you. So there is a bell called Bao Chung. It's the bell hanging outside. Is they call and inform you of time for walking meditation, for eating. That is Bao Chung bell, informing bell. And there's a big bell, Dai Om Chung. And Dai Om Chung is big bell will be, when you hear the big bell, everybody, the whole temple stop and breathe and practice. When you arrive to Plum Village, you can practice together with the Sangha, but you can also practice walking meditation with the Sangha, because everyone in Plum Village practice walking meditation. When you move to one place to another place, you have to practice walking meditation. There's no other style of walking than walking meditation in Plum Village. Even from your room to the restroom, you also practice walking meditation. And you walk in such a way that you walk with your ancestor, the Buddha, God, or the Bodhisattva, or the holy person, and you walk together with your descendant to be born in the future. So you walk, every step is for all the lineage of ancestor before you and descendant after you. Because without mindfulness, in our dailies, we only run and run and run. And when we run, there is worries, there is fear, there is stress, there is a lot of agitation. But when you arrive to Plum Village, that is the first thing you have to train, is to train yourself to walk like baby, train to walk, train to listen, to breathe. Like a baby, learn to breathe, learn to walk, like learn to eat. So we walk in such a way that we have present in the moment with your feet, and you have concentration, you have mindfulness, you have concentration, and you have insight. You don't walk like chased away by ghost, but you walk solidly, with stability, deep in the present moment, very mindful, very concentrated. Don't need to run after anything. We don't need to run after anything. No project in the future, no regret in the past. Live deeply in the present moment. And the present moment is so wonderful. There's so many positive, wonderful things happen in the present moment. Leave, let go your rushing. And all this habit of rushing, of stressful, is that have been transmitted to you by many generations of ancestors. So the training is train yourself to stop, walk relaxingly, like somebody have nothing to do, nowhere to go. I have arrived. I'm really home. I have nowhere to go, nothing to do. We really stop. And stop while moving to the dining room, while moving to the restroom, everywhere, you stop. So every step has been shine the light, the fact, to the fact that we are still there, we are really present, we are alive. And we are making step by step on this wonderful planet. And every step like that is a miracle. Every step is a miracle. Every step is solid. Every step is solid, stable, profound. You walk like a king of on the lion, like a king lion who walks with stability, solidity, majestically. And every step you gain the sovereignty of yourself. and of things happen around you, and you walk like a king lion, you are touching the deep reality of here and now. In the here and now, if you touch deeply, you can touch the no beginning and no end. You can touch the so-called eternity, eternity. So you walk like a Buddha. Every step, if you can stop your running, your project, your worries, your fear, and then you can stop. When you stop like that, you have mindfulness, you have concentration, you have insight. What mean insight? Insight that is the sight is very deep, that we are the sight that we are here and now, very profound, very solid. And insight is nothing. Awakening inside is nothing far away. It's just where you are, but more solid, more profound, more revealing so many things that in superficial way of living you cannot see it. The insight is just very simple but very profound. There's a Vietnamese proverb saying that "Đi đâu mà vội mà vàng." Why you run and rush like that? Why you stumble into a leaf and so on? And so that is a Vietnamese proverb. During my last tour in Asia, I have to sign a lot of books for reader and practitioner. And in Hong Kong, I have to sign 300 books of calligraphy book and prayer with a lot of love and care and so. And they will put into the museum. And exhibition of, in the big exhibition of the Museum of Thai in the exhibition in the Museum of the University of Hong Kong. And I have to sign 300 books. Of course, besides that, I have to fulfill many other tasks. And so, but I sign with relax. I do not consider it like a hard work, like a duty. I just relax. And I wrote Nhắc Hẳn and then the 2010, so three words. Nhắc, one, Hẳn, and 2010. But I do several times, but I do like that. When I write the word Nhắc, and I said, oh, he's still alive. Someone is still alive. That Nhắc Hẳn man is still alive. So I write the second one. Oh, he's signing. The second word is, he's realized he's signing. The first one is, he's still alive. Second one, he's signing. And the third. And 2010, he's sending his energy to the reader of this book. And I do it 100 times. 200 times, 300 times, always try to keep that mindfulness steady. Every word is, I am still alive. I am signing. I am sending my good energy to those who read. So that is the enjoying. It's not a labor. So when you cut carrot or you clean vegetable, don't think that is my work, my duty to do that. No. And so you have to say, somebody is cutting carrot with mindfulness. I am cutting carrot in mindfulness. I am alive. I enjoy washing. I enjoy doing that with all my love and my care. You also do like others, but you are different because you practice. Like you clean the restroom, or you clean the dishes, or you drive. You do like everyone, but you are different because you are mindful. You are stable, you are present, you are concentrated, and you do it with joy, with happiness. It's a work, but it's not the work. It's just a mean to bring you more joy, to bring you more happiness, and more concentration, and more insight. So when you walk, you stand, you speak, it's the same. So when you brush your teeth, you say, such an age and I still good teeth to brush. So I enjoy brushing my teeth and I enjoy. And happiness is from that. Happiness is from that. It's not because you have a lot of money in your account, or you have a lot of property, or you have a lot of fame. No. Just enjoy little thing when you brush your teeth, when you make a step, when you water the vegetable, or when you clean the table. When you are practitioner, you do it joyfully. If you are an artist, you do that for you, for the art of mindful living. Every step is a wonder, is a miracle, because a miracle is, I'm still alive. I'm walking in this wonderful planet. If you see like that, it's a miracle. And then every step is a happiness. Every step is joy, peace. When you walk like that, it's nourished. Every step is healing, every step is nourishing. We would provide that every act, there is mindfulness, concentration. And it depends on you. You have to rely on the Sangha. Because in the Sangha, among Sangha members, there are those who can do it, those who cannot. So, you just observe Sangha and try to choose the best in order to do exactly like him or her. Yep, the Buddha can walk. Okay, I can walk too. There is some compliment to the Buddha is the best, the most venerable honor among those species who have 2 feet. Species who have 2 feet like the swan, the duck, the chicken. But those who have 2 feet like the Buddha is the best of all those who have 2 feet. And among those who have 2 feet is human. There are, but among mammifer is only human. The text number, the stanza number 22. those of you who just arrived, you only remember one sentence. The bird, they used to go back to the sky. The deer like to go back to the countryside. And the wise people, they go back to Nibbana. Nibbana is the founding of relaxing, of no discrimination, of stability, of lightness, of peace and joy. So you only remember that for many other stances. So you live deeply in the present moment in order to dwell on Nibbana. Nibbana is something theoretical, metaphysic. Nibbana in applied Buddhism is just you dwell on the stability, happiness, joyful stillness. It's against the passion and the hatred. So the absence of passion and hatred. And this coolness. Coolness. The first meaning of Nibbana is extinction of fire. The fire of hot sentiment, hot feeling. So when you have a lot of hot feeling, passionate feeling, and then it's fire. But when you have more coolness, freshness, coolness, that is Nibbana. It's the absence of the fire of passion, of excitement, and the heart of other feelings. And Nibbana is extinction of all these fire. And the second meaning is the absence of discrimination. And when you transcend the dualistic view. Dualistic view means that there is a subject and object, I and him and her, I'm good, he's not good, this person is bad, this person is good. That is the dualistic view. But you transcend that. You see that that is because that this is. Because she is like that, because I'm like that. Somehow I contribute to that situation, even good or being bad. And so that is the non-dualistic view. And so because you see like that and you have a comparison with, yeah, I'm less good, I'm equal, or I'm superior. So complex of superiority, because you feel that you are self and you are superior and other are inferior. And then or inferior because they are superior, but equal is also based on the complex to have a separate self. Because you are separate self, but yourself is not too bad, it's equal to other. So the three are wrong. The three, superiority, inferiority, or equality, is a kind of dualistic view. But if you see, I am one with him, he is bad, I am bad, I contribute to that bad things, and so that is a non-dualistic view. And Nibbana characterized by the non-duality view. If in Christianity accept that creator is Nibbana, that is very easy, Christianity. And so creator or God is the absence of God is the absence of fire, on the fire. God is the absence of on the discrimination. God is the absence of on the notion. And there are a number of Christian mystics have seen that. They have seen that God is not something separate from us, but we need, and then we do need to compare with God is not something outside of you. You can discover that freedom, that stability, that depth, that absence of fire in you and around you. That is God. And if Christianity can accept like that, there is no problem. Like on the wave, they are born, they go up, they go down, they suffer because when they go down, they suffer because they do not go up high enough like other wave, and they continue to suffer, they continue to be up and down. But if the wave can realize that the wave is the same time water, and when you are water, high is okay, low is okay, thin is okay, large is okay. So if the water, the wave realizes water, there is no fear. They have Nibbana. So it's the same for God. It's the same for Buddha in us. We still, that is Nibbana. In Nibbana, there is no inside and outside, no up, down, no distinction between me, the good one, and the evil. And there is one day in some retreat, I said that, yeah, in UK, I said that if we put God in the right place, with the Buddha on the right place, everything will be okay. Because we put God in the wrong place, we put the Buddha in the wrong place, and we dispute, and we quarrel, and we make war, and we discriminate, and we say that they are bad, they are not with God, we are with God. That is very dualistic way of seeing things. The stance number 22. Cái mình thấy mình không còn sợ hãi nữa, không còn nghi ngờ gì nữa về ngôn từ hay không ngôn từ. What we have seen, we are not afraid. What we have seen, we are not afraid of. We have no doubt. And things you see, you no longer fear. There is not any doubt about woods and no woods. Sở kiến, it means what we have seen. We have a notion about that. We are not afraid. We have a notion about that, but we are not afraid. We have no doubt about that word or not word. No words or with words. We have no doubt. The arrow that shot down the notion of being, then when meeting a foolish person, there is nothing to show. the arrow shut down the notion of being. We extinct the being, the notion of being. The practitioner is trying to use an arrow in order to shut the notion of being. There is one theologian who said, God is the foundation, the ground of being, the ground of being. But in the insight of the Buddha, being is also a notion. Being is the opposite of non-being. And that theologian have the tendency put God in the sight of being. And he said that God is the crown of being. But we can ask, if God is the crown of being, so how about the crown of non-being? Because there is yes and there is no, there is right, there is left, there is being, there is no being. So who will be the ground of non-being? The practitioner have an arrow and shoot at the being, notion of being. And the being is falling down, falling down. And the non-being also falling down. Because being have shut down and then non-being also shut. Because that is a pair of opposite sides. And in the teaching of the Buddha, you have to extinct the opposite pair, like being or non-being. If you say that God is being, is wrong. But you say that God is non-being, is wrong. You have to say that God goes beyond being and non-being. Because non-being and beings are still in the dualistic way. Dualistic thinking. If we say that God exists is wrong, but God doesn't exist is also wrong, because it's, that is the extinction of all this notion God exists or not exist. That is on the opposite way of seeing things, up, down, right, left. So the aim of the practitioner is to search for non-being or being, but to transcend on the opposite pair, like being, non-being. And the aim of the practitioner is to be to reach the unborn. The unborn is opposite to born. And so it's also a pair that we have to transcend. No birth mean death. No birth. Unborn is no birth. It means death. You practice in order to be dead. So if you can see, you can still see unborn. No birth is mean death. So you have to use an arrow to shut the double grasping. That's being unborn or born. We call it birthlessness. Birthlessness and deathlessness are one. If we see that birthlessness, so is deathlessness too. So one arrow can shoot two opposite of a pair. In 1962, I asked the permission to publish my poem book, joining my hand for praying for the manifestation of Waido. Waido means peace. And then that we call anti-war poetry. When I'm brought to the censor department, they abolish all and left only two poem little. And especially there is a one poem, one arrow shut down, two illusory perception. So an arrow can shut down two illusory perception. It means the born and unborn. And when the politician, they think that we are fighting communists and anti-communists. So they think that in that way. So they said that we belong to the neutralism theory, so censor. So neutralism means you are pro-communist in that side. But the other side, they said neutralist, you are pro-anti-communist. So the poetry of Thai, they understood in that way, and so they censor. They also almost own my poem because most of the poems speak about non-duality. So they thought that I am promoting neutralism. And for anti-communist people and feel that I am pro-communist, the anti-communist, the communist side think that we are pro-anti-communist. So when we shut down the two extreme pair. So we arrive to the state of Nirvikalpa, it means no discrimination mind. And when there is no opposite side like that, you are empty space, you are a lot of freedom in the illimited space. But they don't understand, the politician, they don't understand. It's okay, fine. Poor people, that's all. I don't need to argue. If you know, when you know what means God, you don't need to be theologian, because theologian is for analyzing and try to present God. But when you you understand God, you are God, you taste God, you don't need to be a theologian. And they are crying, they are quarreling, I just smile. And then, this God, God exists or not exists, this nirvana or not nirvana, we don't need to discuss. The most, the best satisfaction, the best satisfaction is the greatest pleasure is nirvana. That extinction, the path leading to that extinction, there is not the highest, no highest, higher. So extinction of all this notion of birth, death, increasing, decreasing, extinction of there is a Vietnamese poet who said that ta bước qua, I make a step on the woods are falling down twice. I make step and then on the woods are falling down twice. So then that deep look, the notion about birth, death, only notion, and the ultimate reality reveal. When we cannot describe by existing, not existing, birth, death. There is also an old poetry using there is one thing is not born, no death, no coming. This very ancient, very old poetry who said that if there is no place for birth, death, coming, going, if there is no ground for that, there is also no ground for no birth, no death, no coming, no going. That is the greatest pleasure of that path. So the extinction, it doesn't mean that there is nothingness. It doesn't mean nothingness. It means the extinction of all the dualistic view, opposing, coming, going, I, you, object, subject, birth, death, all these notions are extinct. There is a deep silence, very noble, very pleasant, the best pleasure. So number 23, that is the primary happiness. That is the best happiness. There's nothing higher than the path to nirvana. Then you have the capacity to hear, to bear. Your mind is also like the earth, the practice of forbearance is like fortress. Brother Stan's 23rd. Intend to teach something today, but he want to be sure that he share everything. At that moment, we can. You have the capacity to bear. Your mind is also like the earth. The practice of forbearance is like the fortress, like a fortress. When we can taste that best pleasure, when you again enter that path, and then you can have the great capacity to bear everything. Your mind is like the earth, and the practice of forbearance is like a fortress. And in the some sutra, the Buddha said, the Buddha also said that the Buddha taught Ananda, you have to train your mind is like the earth. When people are poor on earth, honey, dirt, stool, the earth receive everything equally, absorb them all, and transform them into nutritious part for the tree, for people. So the earth do not have, the earth has no discrimination. The fragrance or the stink is also is the same. And the praising or the shouting is the same. So our mind must train like that. Your mind must be like the earth. The earth, you receive the praising as well. The insult is the same. And the practice, and you can be very, very solid like a fortress. The 24. pure, like clear water. There is not even a little sediment left. The winning and the interest will no longer follow you. Pure light, clear like the water, pure like water. Upper part, the second, the 23rd sentence is earth, and the 24th is water. You have to practice. Your mind is like water. When people pour on the water, fragrance or dirt, the water is remain the same. And because water have the ability to transform them all and purify all, your mind must be like water. Your mind must be like earth. Upadhi is the substance who can have the ability to transform. Subsistence of samsara ended, then there is no more samsara. It means on the link who still attach you and bind you in the direction of suffering. And so then that is Shai. E is the crown of being. And that crown of being, it's being in of samsara, the being of up, down, suffering, joy, suffering, etc. That crown of being. So the substance of samsara, it means up, down, in, enter, out. If that substance ends, we create the roots of passion, of suffering, so when you practice, where you try to cut on this attachment, when you cut on this up down of samsara, and you already arrive to the place where you are freer. There is no more samsara. But there is not birth and death. On this attached to this suffering samsara, you will not receive them. You are like Bodhisattva and the Buddha, enjoying time of space, but not bound by any attachment. There is a unwholesome, is very attachment, and it's wholesome, is you are very free. So in our world, there is holy people and unholy people. And it is mixed. But then you stay in the mixed world, but you dwell on the wholesome side in order to be free. What we think that the benefit for our success is the inwardly thing. People think that the most happiness is every day they read one strict journal to see the share action is increased or not. But here, no. When samsara ends, then there is no more making. If you want to stop samsara, then you should not go to unwholesome act. Then is if your life do not follow the criterion of victory or defeat, or interest or not interest, this thing is not strong enough to pull us out to that worldly world. Even they are called victory and they call a failure, they still live in the world of suffering. You win. It seems that you are happy, but you are still in that world of suffering and you continue to suffer very soon. The victory and the interest is not strong enough to bind you to that world of suffering. In summary, is if you still search for interest, and there is a mistake on copying that word, instead of I believe that when he copy he missed three words. If you are intelligent, you have to see that. Is he missed three words? And an intelligent person must restore on the mistake. There is that victory that you search for is a victory on the enlightenment, but not victory on money, fame. And the victory over affliction is the best victory. And then you are no longer born in that world of suffering. You are not born in that world of suffering. It means you become nothingness. No. You are still there, but you are not in that atmosphere of up, down, competing, hate, jealousy, so on. So you are there, but you are not touched by that world. Extension like that, you will not create more action, unwholesome act. Totally out of all these things, and then you will not do unwholesome act. I'm free already. Why why I have to have on this attachment, new attachment. Without on this samsara, you don't have to be born in that. We don't like to go around in this world of samsara, up, down. If you don't like it, why you have to go to that direction? And also, will not be caught by this life of sex, fame. So we speak about the pure life of a Brahman, of an enlightened person. We know that practice is to create, to produce an element, the substance of holy life. The substance of holiness. When you have that substance of holiness, not because they give you, not because people call you His Holiness, you are holiness, you are holy when you can create that substance of holiness in every act, every look, every way of thinking, every word. You generate by yourself. Nobody can give you. That substance of holiness is not other than mindfulness, concentration, and insight. When you are mindful, you are deep, concentrate, you touch what is profound, inclusiveness, compassionate, and then everything will be great, fine, light, peace. We will not caught in that world of competition, up, down, win, lost. And we have, in the word mindfulness, there is precept. Precept means very mindful. When you are mindful, you don't need to keep precept. Every act will be the precept itself. And so no stealing, no killing, no nothing. It means you are the precept. You are mindful. You are deeply mindful. You are the precept. So, when we speak about mindfulness, we speak about precept, but precept is the mindfulness itself. So, you practice the holy life. If you can do that, because you try to keep precept, and when you keep the precept, you are far away from the life of sex, fame, glory, fame, competition, fighting, violence, so on. And when you have that holiness, it's then to the practice of pull yourself back to oneness, to be mindful, to be concentration, to have a lot of insight. Every minute, every second is concentration, insight, deep understanding. We'll continue Thursday, next Thursday.